Anger is always a symptom of the real problem. Anger is a warning light. Bop, 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 bop. It's bright and it's shining and it's saying, hey, notice that something's wrong. Tilt, it's out of kilter. And when you summarize it down, there are three basic reasons for anger. And when you get angry, it's usually one of these three things. Am I hurting? Am I frustrated? Or am I afraid?
This is Daily Hope with Pastor Rick Warren. In a time where tolerance is valued more than truth, every believer in Christ needs more than ever to know what it takes to build a godly foundation for their life. As we continue this series called Building My Life on Values That Last, Rick will look closely at the biblical principles of trust, self-control, balance, respect, forgiveness, moral purity, fairness, honesty, and love. In just a few minutes, we're going to tell you about a book by Pastor Rick that's both spiritually uplifting and visually stunning. It's called The Purpose of Christmas, and it reveals the true biblical meaning of the season. You can find out more about how to secure a copy for yourself or for a friend just in time for Christmas by going to rickwarren.org while you listen to today's message. That's rickwarren.org, or you can just text the word daily to 313131 for more info. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part two of a message called Developing Self-Control.
Anger always causes us to lose. And the end result of anger is alienation. And you alienate the very people that you love the most. And the ultimate result of anger is more anger back, and finally just apathy. I don't care. They're always unpleasable. I can't please them at all. I give up. Anger, apathy, alienation. That's the result of anger. Now, number three, if I realize the cost and I resolve to control it, now we get to some practical steps. Number three, I must restrain my mouth. I must restrain my mouth. In other words, I got to think before I speak, because inevitably, anger control is mouth control. Now, Proverbs 21:23 says in the New Living Translation, well, let's read it aloud together with great enthusiasm, okay? If you keep your mouth shut, you will stay out of trouble. That would be a great memory verse this week. Have you noticed that you cannot put your foot in your mouth when it's closed? The Bible says that even a fool is considered wise if he says nothing. And so, keep your mouth shut and you'll stay out of trouble. God says anger is largely a matter of mouth control. Now, the problem is we like to talk. And the more we talk, the more likely we are to say the wrong thing. For instance, you will have about 30 conversations a day. You'll spend 1/5 of your life talking. In 1 year, you will speak enough words to fill 53 1,000-page books. The average man speaks 20,000 words a day. The average woman? Now, you think I'm setting you up here, don't you? The average woman speaks 30,000 words a day. Now, that man, let me explain this. Those of you who are husbands, this is why both of you can go to work. You come home, you're dead tired. She still has a 10,000-word surplus. Okay? And she needs to express that to you. You know, one guy said, do you resent it when your wife has the last word? He said, no, I'm just glad when she gets to it. So I think I better not stay on this point very long. Maybe we're just moving right along. I like this poem that said, a wise old owl sat in an oak, and the more he saw, the less he spoke. The less he spoke, the more he heard. Let's try to be more like that bird. You need to restrain your mouth. Why? Well, James tells us why. In the book of James, we have a formula. The Bible says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Now listen, this is a formula. If you do the first two, the third one is inevitable. If you are quick to speak, no. If you are slow to speak, and you are quick to listen, then you are inevitably going to be slow to anger. On the other hand, If you are slow to listen and quick to speak, you're going to be quick to anger. The Bible says it starts with restraining my mouth. If I can control my mouth, now the Bible says nobody can control their mouth on their own power. It takes God's power to do this, because that's the ultimate form of emotional maturity, the ability to control your mouth. But to do that, you need to understand that some of the things you've been taught about anger just aren't true. For instance, one of the myths about anger is that everybody kind of has this reservoir, maybe like a bucket of anger. And then when that bucket gets filled up, you need to pour it out. And once it's poured out, then you'll feel a whole lot better and you'll be peaceful again. That's not true. You see, people think, well, if I have this bucket of anger, it just gets filled to brim. If I hold it in, well, it's terrible. What I need to do is just spew it all out on everybody, and then it's empty. The problem is, you don't have a bucket of anger in your heart. You have a factory. You have a factory. That's what God says. And study after study after study shows that releasing anger only creates more anger. That aggression, being aggressive, actually creates more aggression. And being loud and angry creates more anger back at you, which only creates it more. It does not relieve. It does not reduce. In fact, it multiplies. Because you don't have just a bucket of anger. You got a whole lot more than that. You have an ability to keep producing it. And so the Bible says, learn to restrain your mouth. Number four, I need to reflect before reacting.
The rest of today's message is coming your way in just a few moments. But first, if you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn, just go to rickwarren.org and click on his social media links. Oh, and while you're at it, go ahead and sign up for his free Daily Hope email devotional and take a look at all the other helpful resources. Again, that's rickwarren.org, or just text the word daily to 313131. That's the word daily to 313131. The second half of today's lesson is coming up.
Christmas, where is the year gone? You know, a lot of us stress out around this time of year, losing sight of the real meaning of the season. That's why we'd like you to know about Pastor Rick's book called The Purpose of Christmas. In it, Rick shows you how Christmas is designed to meet your three deepest needs and how receiving God's three Christmas gifts to you this year will transform your life forever. This book is one to be read every Christmas and to be shared with your friends who may not know the true meaning of Christmas. Let us send you a hardcover copy of the inspiring and beautifully illustrated book, The Purpose of Christmas by Rick Warren, as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of Daily Hope. We're sure that God will use it to stir up hope, peace, and gratitude in your heart this Christmas season. Get your copy of The Purpose of Christmas right now by going to rickwarren.org while you listen. Or you can call 800-600-5004. That's rickwarren.org or 800-600-5004. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people around the world. Thanks in advance for your support.
Once again, here's Rick.
And so the Bible says, learn to restrain your mouth. Number four, I need to reflect before reacting. Reflect before reacting. And the Bible says this in Proverbs 29, verse 11. He says, think before you speak. Don't respond impulsively. Let's read this verse together. A stupid man gives free rein to his anger, but a wise man waits and lets it grow cool. Circle the word waits. A wise man waits and lets it grow cool. Now, I like this because did you know that cool it is a biblical term? Okay? God says, cool it. In fact, long before there were baby busters, God was saying, when you get angry, chill. Okay? Chill out. Just cool down. Calm down. Because that's the way you deal with it. Now, delay is a tremendous remedy for anger. Now, I don't mean delaying indefinitely. If you've got an issue you need to deal with your wife or your husband, you need to deal with it. Because anger delayed indefinitely becomes bitterness. And that's worse than anger. because bitterness is always a sin. Anger isn't. But you need to deal with it after a while. If you respond impulsively, you're going to tend to respond in anger. If you wait a little bit and you let it cool and then you begin to talk with it, you're going to be more rational, more reasonable, and deal with it. The longer you hold your temper, the better it gets. And you give yourself time to think. It says, a wise man waits and lets it grow cool. Now, what do you do when you think? Well, let me give you five things. If you write the little word down, T-H-I-N-K, here's what you ought to do before you speak. T stands for, is it truthful? Is it truthful? Before you say it, is it the truth? H, is it helpful? Is it helpful or is it going to just harm? The Bible says in Ephesians, you should only speak helpful words that build up others. I, is it inspirational? You know, does it build up or does it tear down? In, is it necessary? If it's not necessary, don't say it. Now, some things aren't necessarily wrong. They're just not necessary, so you don't need to say it. And then K, is it kind? Is it kind? So you think before you speak. And that's what you do. You reflect before reacting. Now, what do you do during that delay while you're waiting? You try to figure out why you're angry. You try to understand it. Notice this verse. The Proverbs tells us in chapter 19, verse 11, a man's wisdom gives him patience. The more you understand, the more understanding you'll be. The more understand yourself, the more understanding you will be of other people. The more you understand your husband or your wife, the more understanding you will be of your husband or wife. The more you understand your children, the more understanding you will be toward your children. A man's wisdom gives him patience. And so what do? You try to analyze and ask yourself three questions. You might write these down. One, why am I angry? Why am I angry? You know, what's the cause behind it? Two, what do I really want? What do I really want? And three, how can I get it? Why am I angry? What do I really want? And how can I get it? Because blowing up is rarely the way to get what you want. Now, you need to understand that when you get angry, that's not your real problem. No, anger is always a symptom of the real problem. Anger is a warning light. Bop, 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 bop. It's bright and it's shining and it's saying, hey, notice that something's wrong. Tilt, it's out of kilter. And when you summarize it down, there are three basic reasons for anger. And when you get angry, it's usually one of these three things. Am I hurting? Am I frustrated? Or am I afraid? Because these are the three things that cause anger. Hurt, frustration, and fear. Hurt, frustration, and fear. Now, when you understand the cause, it's a whole lot easier to deal with the cause than it is to deal with anger. For instance, hurt. When we are wounded, we get angry. Have you ever, for instance, really stubbed your toe? When you stub your toe, that reaction is not grief. That's anger, isn't it? It's anger. Have you ever like been nailing a nail into wood with a hammer and all of a sudden you hit your thumb and you don't go, oh, I'm grieved in my spirit. At least we don't do that around our house. It's going, oh, yo, man, oh, so, you know, and you're angry. You know, and the emotions are coming out. Why? Because when you hurt turns into anger. Now, this is very important, particularly if you're married, because a lot of times when your spouse is angry with you, they're just hurt. They're hurt. And it's easier to deal with hurt than it is anger. If I come to you and I say, I'm really ticked off at you, your reaction is build up a wall and become defensive. On the other hand, if I say, you know, it hurt me when you said that. And here's how it hurt me. That's, you're more likely to be sympathetic toward that. We're always more sympathetic to hurt than we are to anger. And so if you can learn that when you're angry, say, what this is, it's, I was hurt. That hurt me when you said that. The person you're angry at is more likely to able to deal with it if you tell them what the real cause is. And then, of course, frustration causes anger. Anytime we have to wait, anytime something is out of our control, when a goal that we're trying to move towards seems to just be unreachable, like I try every night to get the kids in bed by 9 o'clock. And it just won't happen. And finally going, get in bed. Okay, what's happening there? Frustration. Hurt, frustration, and then fear. We always get angry when we get afraid. The more insecure a person is, the harder time they have with their temper. People who are self-secure in Christ, people who have confidence, who know where they stand with God, they're not as likely to be angry at things. It's when we're insecure, when we're threatened, when the world threatens us, you find people going off and joining militias and buying guns. Why? They're threatened. And so they're angry. When I feel like you don't value me, or when I feel like you don't understand what I said and it didn't matter to you, that's going to make me angry. And so when you could say, I am afraid that you don't value what I'm saying. I'm afraid that you think I'm worthless. I'm afraid, and you can tell. Now, you know, we don't like to admit it when we're angry. You know, you say, I can tell you're angry. Oh, no, I'm not angry. Yes, you are. I can tell. No, I'm not. You're angry. No, I'm not. You know, why is it we don't want to admit it? It is an emotion that God gave you and is very appropriate in certain circumstances. When you're hurt, when you're frustrated, when you're afraid. But it's how you deal with it that makes a difference. And so that leads us to the fifth suggestion that God says. He says, I need to release my anger appropriately. Release my anger appropriately. Ephesians 4:26. Let's read this verse aloud together. If you become angry, don't let your anger lead you into sin. Now, look at that verse. Does that indicate that there's a way to be angry and not sin? Yes. Because it says, if you become angry, don't let it lead you to sin. It is not automatically sin to get angry. So there are appropriate ways and there are inappropriate ways to get angry. There are helpful ways and there are harmful ways. There are ways that work and ways that don't work. There are right ways and there are wrong ways. So it's all in how you deal with it, how you release it. The problem is most of us express our anger in ways that get us further from the goal instead of moving us closer to the goal. So, what's the right way to deal with anger? Well, let me give you three ways not to deal with anger first. The Bible says first, don't suppress it. Don't suppress it, your anger. Now, suppression means to store it up inside. You're not denying it. You know it's there, but you just bottle it all up. And if you just keep pushing it down, suppressing, it's kind of like if you were to take a Coke bottle and shake it up. One day it's going to pop. And if you swallow your anger, your stomach's going to keep score. Okay? Or your back. Or your headache. Or any number of other physical things that doctors tell us are often brought on by suppressed anger. If you don't talk it out, then you're going to take it out on your body. Does that make sense? So don't suppress it. The Bible doesn't say do that. That's not being Christian, just saying, oh, I'm going to just shove it all down. Number two, don't repress it. Now, in repression, you don't just push it down. You just totally deny it. I am not angry. Everything is fine. Yes, my husband is an alcoholic who is totally irresponsible, but everything's just fine. Yes, my wife spends more money or my husband spends more money than we can possibly make and we're always in debt, but it's okay. We're fine. That's called denial. And what's happening there is you are repressing your anger. Now, when you repress it enough, it freezes, and frozen anger has a word for it. Are you ready? Depression. A lot of times I've met with couples, when I used to do marriage counseling and I talk to them, and they come and say, I'm so depressed. And what I really wanted to say, stop saying you're depressed. Admit it, I'm angry. I'm angry at my husband or I'm angry at my wife, but because I'm a Christian, I don't think I can express anger. Therefore, I'm going to push it down. I'm going to freeze it. And frozen anger is called depression. It's frozen rage. Don't repress it and don't suppress it. Number three, don't express it in inappropriate ways. By the way, when you deny that you're angry, that's called lying. And that in itself is a sin. You say, well, I'm not angry, when you really are. That's being dishonest. God doesn't want you to be dishonest. You want to know, see an honest example of anger, just go read the Psalms. The thing I love about the Psalms is David just tells it like it is. He spills his guts, and sometimes he goes, God, life stinks. God, life is unfair. My enemies are all against me. Things aren't going good, and I'm not so excited about you right now either. And you know what? And God is not shocked by this. God doesn't go, oh, really? I'm going to fall off of my throne in heaven because you're upset. No, God can handle your anger. It's okay. And just, if you want to know how to pray in anger, go read the Psalms. Because after he gets it all out, he goes, now, God, okay, I know you're going to help me with this. And where else can I turn but to you? Because nobody else has the answers. So you don't repress it, don't suppress it, don't express it. Now, we can express it in a lot of wrong ways. Some of you are pouters. In fact, you have a PhD in pouting. And when you pout, you get so pouty. And your lip gets about 5 inches long. And everybody has to walk around on pins and needles or eggshells around you, like, because pretty pouty Paula is right there, you know? And you're just, you know, everybody has to baby you because you're upset. Others of you, you're not pouters. You're just sarcastic. And you whip that tongue out and, you know, you are an expert at cold cuts. Okay? You got that spice tongue down real good there, you know, that deli meat. And it's, you know, spice tongue, cold cuts. I want to tell you what, a sharp tongue will cut your own throat. And that sarcasm will come back to haunt you. And you may feel good, and you may feel witty, and you may feel like, I got him. But what you're doing is destroying a relationship.
That's Pastor Rick Warren, and you're listening to Daily Hope. Rick will be back in a moment with a final thought. With Christmas around the corner, we'd like to tell you about Rick's life-changing book, The Purpose of Christmas. In it, Rick uses surprisingly simple yet often forgotten biblical principles to remind us of the true meaning and significance of the season. Here's Rick to tell you more.
You know, at the very first Christmas, the angel announced three purposes of Christmas. I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. That means Christmas is a time for celebration. And then, for unto you is born this day a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. It's a time for salvation. And then, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. It's a time for reconciliation, to restore our relationships to God and to each other, to experience the peace of God, to have peace with God, and to have peace with each other. I wrote The Purpose-Driven Life, and now I've just finished a new little gift book for the Christmas season called The Purpose of Christmas. It is the clearest presentation of the good news that I think I've ever written. It's a book that you can give to friends who don't know the Lord, who don't know Jesus Christ, who don't know the true meaning of Christmas. And so we've put it in a small format that you can sign your name at the front and sign the name to a friend. I hope this Christmas you'll pick up several copies and give them as Christmas gifts to your friends who would never go to church, or who don't know much about Jesus Christ, so they can understand the true meaning of Christmas and find faith in Him. I dedicated the book to those who would accept and unwrap and enjoy God's Christmas gift to us, Jesus Christ. I hope you'll pick up The Purpose of Christmas and give it out to many people that they might find the true meaning of Christmas.
Get your copy of The Purpose of Christmas right now by going to rickwarren.org, or you can call 800-600-5004. That's rickwarren.org, or just call 800-600-5004. And thanks in advance for your support. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people around the world. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.